morning. If you could turn to Matthew chapter 21. And while you're turning there, there is one other announcement that was neglected. I didn't write it down very well, so. David came up to me and he said, there's one more announcement. And I'm thinking, okay, I got to write this down. And then he walked away and I didn't write it down very well. If you were planning on making donations for the Christmas cheer thing for Ryan, you have one more week to do that, I guess. Is that right? Is that close? I don't know where Dave's gone.
Friday. The flat day, we're taking away Friday.
Oh, Friday. Okay, I thought I was told Saturday. Sunday. I don't know what I was told. I was trying to sing. So talk to Ryan if you want to make a last-minute donation to that. Matthew chapter 21. I'd like to read the first 11 verses of this. Matthew 21, starting at verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for an opportunity again to be together and to sing songs of worship and praise to you and to lift you up. And we thank you for your word this morning, and I pray that you would bless us as we look into it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me start by saying that I was a little disappointed this morning. We came into the Sioux. We've had a kind of a busy weekend, and by the time we went to bed last night, it was quite late, and it was hard getting up this morning and getting on the road, and I've been fretting about the weather because I'm getting old, and when you get old, you either don't care about anything and you drive like a maniac, or you start to fret about things like the weather. And so, the forecast has been showing a little bit of snow, and so we headed out, and it was beautiful and sunny down our way, and we get, there's clouds as we're coming along here, and of course, just as we get into the Sioux, there's just a few little flakes of snow in the air just to get my nerves going. And I thought, oh, we're almost to Bethel, we're almost here. But we came into the city, and I expected, and as of course, we got closer to Bethel, I expected banners out saying, welcome Dave and Shirley. And I expected people lined up along the street. I expected a big welcome. Of course, we got here between towards the end of breaking of bread. So there was nobody, well, there was a couple people, but whoever you were, it wasn't who I was expecting to be out. I thought somebody would be in the parking lot waiting for us and, you know, get the door for us, you know, escort us in and everything. It wasn't like that. It'll never be like that. But shouldn't it have been like that for Jesus? And it was, wasn't it? We're going to look at this passage, and there's some interesting things. As we look into God's word, it's just amazing, the things that are in there. And the last while I've been preaching in different places, I've been looking at stories from the Gospels, stories about Jesus. And there are so many fascinating things in these stories, and so many things that we can learn from. And for this morning, I had a little bit of help from Matthew Henry, who has some interesting little insights. And his mind worked kind of like mine works. And to look for little obscure little things and things in this in the passage that say, you know, here's a lesson. And if we're not going to learn from God's word, why bother with it, right? If we're just going to read it and come and listen to somebody, but we're not going to learn anything from it, then it's no better than any other book that we're going to sit down and read. Right now I'm reading a book called The Man Who Had to Hang Louis Riel. Fascinating book, but it's not changing my life. And there are a few lessons I could learn from it, but we won't go there. There are a few things that we can learn, but I'm just reading it just to learn some things. But when I read God's word, when I hear God's word, it's designed to change our lives. And so we're going to look at this passage and we're going to see some things that as I was looking at them and thinking about them, I thought, you know, here's something I can learn. Here's something that can be an encouragement, or here's something that can be a challenge to me. One of the things that I find so fascinating as I read through God's word is God's timing. God's timing is so, it's just perfect. God knew what he was doing, didn't he? Everything is just set up so perfectly. And I didn't realize this, but when Jesus came into Jerusalem on this particular day that we're looking at here, this was 5 days before his death. It was the 14th day of the month. Sorry, the Passover was on the 14th day of the month. This, when he's coming into Jerusalem, is on the 10th day of the month when they set the Passover lamb, when it was set apart, kind of. There was part of the ceremony that they had to do this with this. It was shown. And what does Jesus do? And this is from Exodus chapter 12, 3. What does Jesus do? Jesus says, "Here I am. I'm the Passover lamb." And this, for them, this was a big part of their whole life to present the Passover lamb. And Jesus chooses this time to come into Jerusalem and say, "Here I am. I am the Lamb of God. I've come to take away the sin of the world." And he presents himself in that way. Jesus, as he comes into the town, as he comes into the city, he sends two of his disciples ahead of him. And he tells them to go and do something. And for them, it was to go into the village right beside the city. You're going to find a donkey and a colt, and you're going to bring them to me. That was their mission. That was what they were sent out to do. They were sent with a mission. Have we been sent with a mission? Have you been sent with a mission? And if you have, what is your mission? What is your mission? We have general things that are our mission. We know the Lord told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. We know that. That's our mission, isn't it, as believers? But our mission is more specific than that, isn't it? We have felt a calling, and especially in the last few years, more and more of a calling to be working with our own First Nation people. And we've had the opportunity in the last year and in a number of different ways to be working with First Nation people. That's part of our mission. I have no doubt in my mind that that's part of our mission. Our mission, my mission. What's your mission? Do you have a specific mission? If you don't, you will be like me when we lived in Batchewana Bay. There was a fire. And people ask me, "You want to join the volunteer fire department?" I don't have time for that. I just said no. Well, one time there was a fire. And I thought, well, I'll go see if I can help out. I don't know what to do. I get to this fire and I'm just kind of standing around. There's people running around and there's hoses and they're spraying water and they're doing this and that and everything. And I'm just kind of roaming around. I don't know what to do. Somebody told me, "Can you stand on this thing in the water?" there was a stream nearby, and there was this intake thing, and so they said, can you stand on that? It's got to be under the water. This was in the spring. The water was cold. I wasn't prepared for this, so I'm standing on this thing in this pond. It's all dark around me. It was late in the day, and it's getting kind of dark and everything, and I see through the trees. I can see this house burning. It was an abandoned building, so it wasn't really, in a sense, it wasn't a big deal. Nobody was ever going to live in there again, but I'm standing there, and I thought, no, this is foolish. I'm standing here. I'm doing nothing. Everybody else, all the firemen are scurrying around, going here, going there, doing all this stuff. I'm just standing here doing nothing. Why? Because I'd never gone to a volunteer fire department meeting. I didn't know what you were supposed to do with a fire. Then somebody comes along after about an hour of me standing on this thing. Somebody happened to come along to check this intake thing. And they said, what are you doing? I said, somebody told me to stand on it. They said, that thing's designed to float on top of the water. The intake is down below. I'm jamming it into the dirt. Have you ever felt like that in your Christian mission? You know the Lord's told you to go and do something. You just don't know what it is. And so you see these other Christian people, they're going here and they're going there and they're doing this and they're doing that. And so you think, well, I want to get involved. And so you try. But because you don't know what your mission is, you miss out. You stand there doing nothing. And the heart might be right. There might be that desire. But you haven't listened to the Lord's direction in your life. Imagine, some of the people think that these two disciples that were sent were Peter and John. A little bit later on, Peter and John are sent in to get things prepared for the Passover. And we're told specifically that's Peter and John. It's a good possibility this is Peter and John. Think about Peter for a second. Think about the kind of guy he was, okay? When Jesus says, go into the village, isn't Peter the kind of a guy that you would expect to say, go into the village, okay, Lord, and take off into the village and get there and say, what am I coming into the village for? Peter had that heart. He had that desire. He just wanted to do what, he just wanted to serve. He wanted to please the Lord, and he'd go and he'd go and he'd go, but he didn't stop and think about things. He had to stay and listen for the directions. He had to listen to the instructions, and then he was able to go. Whoever these people were, these two disciples, then they were able to go into the village. Then they were able to find this donkey and the colt, and this whole thing was able to play out because they listened to the directions, the specific directions. Do you know what your mission is? Notice here, when Jesus sends these two disciples, he sends them on this mission. He makes provision for them. It's going to work out okay. He knows what's going to happen. He lets them know, you're going to go in this village. He doesn't say, you've got to go and try to find enough money to buy a donkey and her colt. He goes and he says, they will be there. You untie them and start bringing them to me. And if somebody asks you, what are you doing? Just tell them, the Lord has need of them, and they'll let you go. Everything will be provided for. Physically, they would be provided for. They would find the donkey. They would be able to get that. But the Lord also says, I will give you the answers. If somebody asks, you imagine if Jesus didn't give them this instruction. They're to go, if he just said, go and find this donkey and her colt and bring them to me. And so they go and they find this donkey and colt, just like he says, and they start untying them. Somebody says, what are you doing? We're just taking them. We thought they were just, free in the street. Picture yourself. Somebody just shows up at your house. And they're starting your car. And you go to them and say, what are you doing? And they just say, we just need your car for a while. I know what the response would be. Now, if that person said, the Lord has need of it, we would be pretty skeptical, wouldn't we? And we wouldn't just say, okay, here, I'll give you the extra set of keys too, just in case you run into problems. But Jesus knew. He gave them the right answers. He gave them the answers that would satisfy anybody that would ask a question. If he's going to send us out, if he's going to send us into this world, if we've got a mission in this world, he says, I will provide for you. I will look after the physical things you need. They'll be there. But I will also give you the answers. I'll make sure that when you go out and you start to interact with people and you start to share the gospel with people and you build those relationships and those bridges with people and the topic of your eternity comes up and their eternity and they've got all of these doubts and all of these questions, Jesus says, I'll give you the answers. I'll give you the answers that you need. Now, this is not like students who would say, I've got a test coming up, I'm just going to ask the Lord for answers. Because you still have to do your part, right? You can ask the Lord, help me through this test, help me through this exam. But you've got to study for it. And we as believers need to be studying so that we've got the answers there. But the Lord will provide for us. Oh, it's interesting in this story. This is Jesus. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior. This is God himself coming into the city. What would you expect? You would expect that there would be, that he would come in a fancy chariot of some sort, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that make sense? Something very special. You would think that there would be trumpets blowing along the way, announcing his arrival. You would think that there would be banners waiting, that there would be people lining the streets waiting, that there would be all of the important people waiting there, waiting to welcome Jesus as he enters the city. But he comes in and he presents himself with such humility. Because that is Jesus, isn't it? He comes in with such humility, riding on a donkey. And before him, instead of a red carpet, and instead of all of the lights and all of the glory coming into that city, there are people throwing their robes down on the way. There's people cutting branches off the tree. Off the trees, and they're making this incredible roadway for him. They're doing what they can do. They're doing the best that they can do. But this is for God himself. This is for the King of Kings coming into the city and offering himself as the Passover lamb, presenting himself as a king. What does it say? The prophecy? Behold, your king is coming to you. Jesus is saying, I am coming to you as your king. Will you accept me as your king? And this is the welcome. This is what happens along the way. It's a couple things. Number one, his kingdom's not of this world anyhow, is it? He doesn't need the fancy red carpet. He doesn't need all of the news media and the dignitaries and the trumpets and everything along the way, because his kingdom isn't of this world. He doesn't need those things. We don't either, do we? We don't need those things. We like to get them once in a while. We like to be recognized. When our son Dustin was born, we left the hospital in Elliott Lake, and Dustin was a day and a half old. We're coming back to camp. He was born the end of June, and so we were getting into camp season, so we had to get back to ABK. And so we pull off Highway 17 on Sugar Lake Road, and there we get along there, and there's cardboard signs. John Marriott had gone out of his way. John Marriott's a character. You know, John, you know, I don't need to say anymore. And I won't say where he gets it from. I saw his dad here earlier. I don't know where he's gone. But there's signs along the way welcoming us back to camp. And all these little signs and these cute little things all the way into camp. And I was kind of like, oh, this is sweet. This is nice, you know. We're getting a little bit of doo-doo-doo-doo because we're coming into camp with this little kid. It was kind of nice. It felt good to be welcomed someplace. It feels good, doesn't it? But we need to remind ourselves that this world really has nothing. Danielle, in her second year at KLBC, the theme for graduation was "This World Has Nothing." And she got this sweatshirt, and she decided she didn't want it anymore, so she gave it to me, and I've just about wore it out. But I think that slogan, "This world has nothing." His kingdom was above. So he didn't need all of that, and we don't need that either. We can live in such with such humility. We should be such humble people. But someday, there is going to be a trumpet, isn't there? Before Jesus Christ comes back to this world, what's going to happen? It says the trumpet of God is going to sound. There's going to be this incredible trumpet blast. And Jesus, when he's talking to his followers, he said the angels are going to go out into the world and they're going to gather up his followers. There's going to be this incredible day someday in the future. And it's going to be, "Here I am. I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords." And that is going to be an incredible entry, isn't it? That is going to be an incredible event. This one was spectacular. This one, just imagine yourself in that crowd. This must have been something to be there. In spite of the low surroundings and everything, and these are not the important people of the city. These are the low people. These are the nobodies in the city. And it would have been something to be there. But someday to hear that trumpet sound, someday to see Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, wow, that is going to be incredible. That is going to be incredible. It seems that this whole story kind of seems to hinge on Jesus saying he's coming into the city and he says, it's almost like this. I need to ride in on something. We're not told any place else that he's ever ridden on an animal. He walks all over the place. But now he's going to ride in on an animal, this one little brief ride. And it's kind of like we got to take care of one detail. We've got to go and get the animal. And it seems like, if you're reading through this story and you don't know that he knows everything and that he's got everything planned out, it seems like, we've got to go and get this. And we know that's not the case. Jesus wasn't coming into the city and saying, "I knew I forgot something." He knew exactly what he was going to do, but he makes it appear that way, like, we've got to take care of this one last thing. And I am so thankful in Revelation 13:8, he's talked about as the Lamb of God, but the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Slain from the foundation of the world. Going way, 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 way back into time, Jesus Christ knew about you and I. And it wasn't like a last minute thing. It wasn't like, I forgot about Dave Lawrence. I forgot about this person. I forgot about that person. He was thinking way back then, I know about Dave Lawrence. I know he's going to be born into this world and he's going to be here and he's going to do this and he's going to do that. And he is going to need me as Savior, as Lord and Savior. And I'm going to take care of that. I think that's amazing. For me, that is amazing because I have felt, living in this world, like I'm a nobody. Because I am a nobody. Really, I am a nobody. I can come to the Sioux and I can run into people that I know. In fact, I can go to Toronto and run into people. I know Toronto is a fairly big city. But it's not like, there's Dave Lawrence. It's not like the paper the next day or on the news that night that, that Dave Lawrence was spotted in Toronto. I know I'm a nobody in this world. But I'm not a nobody to Jesus. And going way, way, way back in time, he says, I'm going to take care of things for you, Dave. I'm going to make sure your sins can be forgiven. I'm going to make sure that you're going to have a mission in this world. I'm going to make sure that you've got my word. I'm going to make sure of all of these details along the way. Don't worry about them. I've got them under control. I've taken care of them. The donkey that Jesus uses is borrowed. He has to borrow a donkey to ride into town. He says, I don't even have a place to lay my head. I don't even have a place to call home. Birds have a nest. Foxes have holes in the ground. I don't have a place to call home. You think about the way that Jesus lived while he was here in this world. Possessions meant nothing to him, did they? Possessions meant nothing. He should have had the best of this world. He should have lived in an incredible mansion. He should have had mansions spread out all through the land. If he was going to go and minister in that land, every place he went, there should have been a mansion in Jerusalem. There should have been a mansion in Bethany. There should have been one in Nazareth and one in Capernaum and one in all of these places. Every place he went, there should have been a big mansion. And he should have had some kind of a limousine. And he could have taken care of that. He could have made it so that they had fancy limousines and chauffeurs and people waiting on him. And he could have had the best of everything. But he didn't care about that. So why do we care about those things? Why does it concern us so much, the physical things of this world? We're driving, today we're driving because of the potential snow, we're driving Danielle's truck. It's got four-wheel drive, it's got good, fairly aggressive treads on the tires, whatever that means. I heard somebody say aggressive tread once, and I thought, I have to use that sometime in my life. She was cleaning it. She was kicking the snow off from around it last winter. And as she was kicking it, she kicked in front of the front fender, I guess it is. She kicked it, and it's dented. She dented her truck. And I noticed this yesterday. I see it every once in a while. And I saw this dent in her truck. I was upset by it. I thought, because I call it my truck. I thought, somebody dented my truck. And I thought, oh yeah, that was Danielle. She dented it. She kicked it. I thought, why would she do that? Why would she kick my truck? Even though it's her truck. And then I fool myself and think, things in this world don't matter. Material things in this world don't matter. But boy, if there's another dent in my truck that's her truck, I will be upset. And if things of mine are moved around and misplaced, and I get upset by those things. Why? They're all borrowed anyhow, aren't they? Everything that we own, isn't it really just borrowed? We're using it for a while. It's going to be left behind. I'm not going to be able to use it forever and ever and ever. All of those things are going to be left behind. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that he was leaving these things behind. He knew what really mattered. He knew what really counted. And it wasn't the streets of gold that really counted to him. I think about the streets of gold, and I think about my metal detector. If I could take my metal detector to heaven, whew, can you imagine? Beep, 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 just digging. I would be digging up gold. It would be crazy. Jesus wasn't thinking about the streets of gold. He wasn't thinking about the pearly gates. He wasn't thinking about all of those things. He was thinking about what really mattered, what mattered most. He was thinking about you and I. We're precious to him. Our lives, our eternity is precious to him. That's what he was thinking about. When he comes into Jerusalem here, when he comes riding in as the king, when he presents himself as the Passover lamb, he says, I'm thinking about those precious, precious people that I created. The ones that in a few days I am going to die for. I'm going to give my life for them. They're what matter to me. Those people, That's what counts. And so we need to keep in mind what's really important in this world. It's not the vehicles that we have and the houses. And I'm not saying we should just let everything fall apart like the Honda Civic that's parked in our backyard. That I have to boost to start and I can't go too fast because it doesn't have front brakes and the gas tank is empty because there's a gas leak. And but we have another vehicle. That one's kind of, I'm trying to decide what to do with it. But the Lord doesn't say, just misuse everything you've got. Just abuse it. Just let it fall apart. We're stewards of those things. We're to use them for His honor and glory. We're to give our lives as He did for what really counts, for what really matters. And that's other people. For us to pour our lives into the lives of other people. Jesus says, when He sends them into the village, He says, if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately He will send them. The Lord has need of them. The Lord has need of them. All that we possess should be at His disposal, shouldn't it? The Lord has need of them. Why has He given us all of these things? Why has He blessed us with what He's blessed us with? So that we can use them to serve Him. So that we can use them for the furtherance of His kingdom. He has need of them. And if He has need of them, what should our attitude be? There's no argument on the part of this person who owns these donkeys. We don't have any argument recorded. What are you doing? Lord has need of them. Fine, take them. Go, use it. Is that the attitude that we have with the physical, the material things that we have in this world? If the Lord says, I have need of that, what do we do with it? Have you ever been like I am where you've been aware of a need? Somebody's made you aware of a need, a physical need, a money need. So you think, okay, I'm going to give. There's a couple red ones in the back. You know what that means, right? Those are the ones with the big numbers on them. Lord doesn't have need of them, does He? Lord has need of a couple of 20s maybe. So I'll give the Lord the couple of 20s that I have in my wallet, but not everything. Because I'm sure that somebody else can make up the rest of whatever that need is. We need to be as this person, this unknown person in this story. The Lord has need. Here, it's yours, Lord. It's yours anyhow. You've just given it to me. You've lent it to me. I'm going to leave it behind anyhow. So, Lord, it's yours. Take it. Use it. Whatever it is, including my life. Including my life. And that, too, just amazes me. That the Lord wants to use me. The Lord wants to use me. Wow. When He comes into the city, look at the joy and the enthusiasm of the people. They're crying out, they're throwing their robes and they're cutting branches along the trail and they're making this path for Him and they're crying out, Hosanna to the Son of God, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Can you imagine if we all shouted that right now, if we just kept shouting that, you imagine what this building would be like? And imagine that multiplied. There were thousands of people that followed Jesus around. This was a special time of year for them. The city was exploding with people. There was a lot of noise going on here. This was just incredible, the excitement, the enthusiasm that was happening here. Do we have the same excitement, the same enthusiasm? And how long does it last? How long does it last? We can be all excited about something just like that. Wow. It's gone. Our excitement, our enthusiasm is gone. Our positive outlook, I'm Mr. Happy and Cheery and everything, and boom, it's gone. It doesn't take much. Seriously, the few little snowflakes that we saw, I just felt my heart just sank. I'm like, oh, I'm thinking, it's a few little flakes of snow. I'm driving my truck, that's my daughter's. I don't have to worry about it. But just like that, those things can be just gone. And in fact, 5 days later, that enthusiasm was gone. These people that are shouting out, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest, they're shouting out, crucify Him, away with this one, crucify Him. Can you imagine that? How could these people turn so quickly and so violently in such a short time? The king presents himself to them. They welcome him into the city. And then they cry out, "Crucify him." But why? Why do they turn so fast? The people in the city says, "Who is this? What's happening? Who is this?" And they say, "Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Yes, he was the prophet of Nazareth. But is that all he was? They missed it. When he presented himself to them, they missed it. They saw him as this prophet. They saw him as this guy that had done some pretty incredible things. And if he was coming into Jerusalem and maybe fulfilling some prophecies, maybe he would be king and maybe things would be different. They didn't expect him to be their savior. They didn't expect him to come and die. And they certainly were not anticipating him being their Lord. And I hope, in closing, I hope that you haven't missed the point of who he is. He isn't just the person that you hear about on Sunday. He isn't just the person that you hear about at Bible camp. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a man. He's not just a baby that was born a couple thousand years ago. He came to be our Lord and Savior. He came to be our Lord and Savior. Don't miss that point. And even if we have put our trust in him, don't miss that point. He came to be our Lord and Savior. And as our Lord and Savior, we should want to serve him with enthusiasm, with everything that we have, fulfilling the mission that he's given us, seeing it through to the end, and looking for that day when the trumpet sounds and we'll see him as King of Kings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this morning. I thank you for the lessons that we can learn from your Son. I thank you that he knew what was ahead of him as he came into Jerusalem and as he presented himself as a Passover lamb and as he presented himself as a king. I thank you that he was willing to continue on, that he was willing to go to the cross for us. I thank you that he came so that our sins could be forgiven. I thank you that he came so that he could be our Lord and our Savior. And I thank you that he's given us a mission. I pray that you would help us with enthusiasm, with all that we possess, with all that we are. Help us to serve him well. And pray for your blessing as we leave here. In Jesus' name, amen.